Okay, we'll call the meeting to order for the Retirement Association, September 10th. Where am I? Roll call.
Gordon Ford?
Here.
Maria DeAnda?
Here.
Darren Garrett?
Here.
Jason Gordo? Mike Lynch?
Here.
Jim DeMartini?
Here.
Donna Riley?
Here.
Jeff Grover?
Here.
Michael O'Neill? Joan Clendenna?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, any announcements? No public comment. So we go to consent items, number five.
You know, I have to say, this is the first time I think that while I've been on the board, that there was no one from CSA retiring. Or deferring retirement, for that matter.
Lack of CSA, okay. Yes.
Since they all did it last month.
Well, no, because they're all brand new people.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a vote to approve the consent items as listed on the agenda.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any reasonable anything or anything? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We got through that. Then move right on to number six, Executive Director.
And we have the SACR 2014 fall event that's coming up November 11th through the 14th. It's in Monterey this year. We've asked to fill out the voting proxy, so I need to have a nomination for two people for the voting delegate and the alternate voting delegate.
Who's attending?
I do know that Michael O'Neill is not here today, but he has expressed that he would be attending and would be willing to be voted on if needed.
And I'll be attending.
Maria has expressed interest in going as well.
I will be attending as well. But I did the voting proxy the last time, so I think since Mr. O'Neill is not here, it's kind of a routine and customary to tag your it.
Yeah, whoever doesn't show up.
So I'll make a motion that Michael O'Neill shall be our voting member.
Our voting delegate.
And an alternate.
Maria as the alternate?
Sure.
Sounds good.
I'll
all
second.
In favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay.
I'm planning on going to this also.
Thank you.
Oh, good.
Oh, by the way.
I had to check to be sure I had it on the
And Grover's going too.
Jeff is going too. Okay. Yeah.
Good.
And Joan's going. Are you going?
What, to Sackers?
Yeah.
I'm a very definite maybe.
Me too. I'm a definite maybe.
The country needs leadership.
That's right. Well, I think I have another meeting with my conflicts.
And I have to make sure my boss is in the office that week.
All righty, we're going to B, monthly report.
I saw it. I almost called his son. You know, the guy had an active cancer.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't interrupt. So this is the monthly staff report that we get, kind of laying out for the board what it is that we're doing, how we're staying busy. Nothing's changed much from the previous month. We're still down a couple employees. We've had 1.5 employees come back. So we were down almost 4 employees last time we talked. Now we're down to about 2. We still have 1 out. Well, we're down 1 because of Louisiana's leaving the organization, and Dawn Lee is still on jury duty, and she's expected to be out at least another 3 weeks, she told me today. So we're still down 2 employees, but it's getting better. Strategic realignment, we have just finished this document. We've been working on this probably for the last 8 or 9 months, and we've just got it to completion. So our October board meeting, admin meeting, is going to be a very interesting meeting. We're going to be bringing forward to you the resources that the organization is going to be looking to acquire over the next 10 years. It won't be anything that you'll be voting on, but it'll just be a roadmap for you to get you prepared to what the organization is probably going to be coming to you and asking you over the next 10 years. Did you have a question?
Well, you know, I find it impossible to plan beyond 10 minutes, much less 10 years.
We have to go through this exercise.
Pardon me?
We have to go through this exercise. We have to know what we're up against over the next 10 years in terms of workload and efficiencies and how we're going to get the work done.
Things you have control over.
Right.
Yep.
But we can project pretty...
At least today you have control.
Yeah. I don't want to get too in depth here in this topic, but we have a good ability to project our workload over the next 5 to 10 years based on what's happened in the past. And our workload, we've noticed, is highly correlated with our retiree counts, believe it or not. The higher the retiree counts are, the greater the workload and strain on our resources are. So we do have the ability to figure out what's coming down the road, and we use that greatly in this analysis. And then the third thing I'm going to let Kathy talk to you about, she also has a little bit of good news for you, too.
Me, too. Okay, staff has been working heavily on the audit this year. Auditors were on site for 3 weeks instead of two, partially due to the new GASB regulations that went into place. Quite a bit more field work had to be done. They actually pulled member data from the actuary information that was provided to the actuaries last year. They actually went to the employers and verified data points and information on the members. And of those, they did have some variances, and then we have to research what's going on and why the variances. Sometimes the employer had something wrong, sometimes we had something wrong. We, of course, will correct any error we may have found or that was brought up over this. But so they were here for 3 weeks, so that really keeps us all on our toes. In addition to our regular workload, we try to respond to their requests as quickly as possible so they can continue to work forward. So they've headed back, and the first draft of the financial pages and the management discussion and analysis has been submitted for review. But the interesting thing that's going on here is because of the GASB 67, the way the market value of the funding ratio will be reported a little bit different in this CAFR than it has in the past. Typically, we just take the funding ratio from the previous valuation. This year, it's the previous valuation plus the 2014 liabilities. So the funding ratio which will be reported in this year's annual report will be 88.3%.
On a market value basis, wow. Not actuarial, but that's even better.
And
darn good.
It's good on any basis.
Yeah.
So then next year, it'll roll forward, but this is because this is the first year of this change, it jumped almost 10%.
So it's not a real increase, it's a result of...
Go ahead.
Let me explain. The only difference between Graham doing the actuarial evaluation and coming up with this number is that what he does for GASB purposes, and because of timing and the fact that we have to get this information out now rather than being able to wait 6 months for the actuarial evaluation, he takes the liabilities from last year's valuation, rolls them forward to June 30th, 2014, and then compares that number to the actual assets on hand. And it comes out to be about 88.2. And it's funny because when she told me this morning, she asked me, do you want me to say something? I said, no, I don't think so. And then I thought about it, and I did a rough calculation of my own, and I get pretty close to the same answer. So I was really surprised that the funding ratio was coming in that well. I was expecting 84-85%, because I think Mike has been asking me that, and I've kind of been keeping up to speed. So it's somewhat higher than what I had originally anticipated. But it looks like that's the number that's going to come.
Sackers is at 83.
It's CalPERS.
CalPERS is 83.
Now remember, the actuarial value that's used to set the employer contribution rates, though, is probably going to be 81-82% because we only recognize 1/5 of the gains that we had in this last fiscal year. But nonetheless, I think that at least since I've been here, we've been reporting funded ratios on a market value basis because we felt that they're more indicative of the health of the plan from year to year. So it's a good number.
It's a good number, and it's interesting because the number in our annual report from here on out will be different than what's in the actuarial.
Yeah.
report.
Well, the actuary will have,
it'll have
both numbers.
Normally we would report the other one. So
we can look at the other one as a range.
The actuarial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So staff is still working on it. The document itself has grown probably about, I don't know, 10 or 20 pages in addition for extra notes and stuff. So they're working hard on getting that stuff. And some of them, the auditor, the actuary, and a accountant are working on the best way to write these notes. So there's a lot of new going on this year that will be in the CAFR. So we're still on track to get it done, though, and have it to you by October 28th.
So is this figuring, it's the way we figure this the same way that it was in that article in the Sun Star about Merced? They said that theirs was at 51%.
No, I would imagine they just grabbed that from the actuarial valuation. Because nobody has really reported their GASB numbers yet, because the CAF, nobody's put out their CAFRs yet.
So their 51 would compare to our
79. Exactly.
Okay.
Still scary.
Well, the scary thing is their new numbers might be worse than those numbers.
Yeah, numbers, that's true.
It could be all over. Yeah.
Some bad investments or something.
They blamed it all on Buck.
How will this impact the employer rates for next year, Rick?
I would expect the employer rates to be flat because, like I said, we're only recognizing one-fifth of the gains.
Right.
Plus, we're phasing in that other 1.05% from the funding change implementation due to GASB.
Right.
So right now, all things being equal, and I don't know how the liabilities did between valuation years, but I would expect the contribution rate to be pretty much the same as it was last year.
Okay.
Or what we're paying this year, I'm sorry.
As a percentage of payroll?
Correct.
So, okay.
I had thought our funding ratio was 82%. So it really is 79.
It was 79. Well, yeah. Actually, it still is as of our last valuation.
Correct.
Yeah.
When would it be updated? Is it a year away?
No, probably. I think Graham generally, we have him out in December or January, and then we have the final in February or March, I believe. So I would say early next year we'll have a revised funded ratio that's we can report. But then, you know, when we get our CAFR done and approved in October, that number will be in the CAFR. So there's nothing to stop us from touting what's in the CAFR as well.
That's good.
So what's our employer rate right now?
On average, the employer rate across the entire system is 24%. I don't know. It's divvied up differently amongst each pool. We have four pools.
Okay.
But the entire system it's 23%. It was 22, and then we added the one due to the funding.
So they can expect roughly 20. Okay.
23%. Because we'll have some losses due to the law enforcement pay increases. But those should be mitigated somewhat by the gains we have, the gains we recognize due to the good investment return.
But again, as we discussed, if the frequency of retirements go up within that subgroup down the road.
More than expected.
Right.
It could have an effect on the employee.
Right.
But you guys were really, compared to Merced, the articles that Merced was at 50%.
Merced has some real issues, though, having to do with pensionable compensation.
Yeah.
That's really taken
because they were involved in that.
Absolutely.
Litigation.
Talking about
Merced.
Everyone, the police have 3.50, but every other employee is 3.60.
Correct. The general.
And they made it retroactive.
Remember, too, we've got things coming down the pipeline. We've got mortality improvements to think about.
I think we'll see 50 again. That way.
Well, for new employees, it has.
It's already 55.
With the new CAFRA. 2.7 at 57, which is basically 02 at 50 tier. Basically what it is.
I don't think they'll see 50%.
Oh, I see. No. Correct.
It's an obligation.
Right. I gotcha.
And you know, one final caveat is that this is only at one point in time. It's just every June 30th we do this, so
right.
Just keep that in mind. And we got a lot of headwinds still coming that we need to be aware of and consider when we make decisions down the road.
I asked Rick a while back, and I think he's working on something, that there's a mechanism that he knows of some sort of a hedge for the whole system, so that if we would have another 2008 where everything drove off the cliff, it would fill the valley up, but would somehow limit how high we could go on the other end.
So we did that. I guess you weren't here a couple months ago, but we are going to bring somebody back that actually does this work. The board expressed interest to get further information on it, and that's kind of what I wanted to do, but we explained the concept. There was interest to bring somebody back, and we're going to do that next year sometime.
Because as we get out there, the highest we've ever been, it seems more and more relevant.
Well, we just wish interest rates would come up, because then we could buy up, get locked in, and that would help us tremendously. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
And at least a year away before they move.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that they're talking about raising short-term interest rates. That's going to happen, but I don't know if it's going to have much of an effect on the long end of the yield curve, which is where our liabilities sit. They're pretty long-duration liabilities. So I think it's going to be a while.
Okay, do we have a closed session?
Not for me, no.
Anything else? Members forum?
Nothing for me.
Nothing for me.
John?
Any, hear anything more from LA Times?
I didn't even look. Did anybody see if the article was out there yet?
I didn't see anything this morning.
I didn't look. I'll look when I go back to my chair.
Last time.
Nothing more.
Doesn't have anything today.
Quiet group. We have time.
We missed the cutoff for shortest meeting ever, so.
Aw, well then talk.
I got nothing.
Oh, jeez.
We're blank with pressure.
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing of interest to this group. Sure,
I would just say one thing. Rick sent the article around
lots
about.
Lots to say, nothing to this group.
About CalPERS' action in reopening the issue of final compensation. I actually talked to one of the people who was on the CalPERS board, and he was making the case that they were forced to do that by their lawyer's interpretation of things. And I know it was a split 75-7 vote. That I think our position should be, unchanging, and no matter what legal opinions come down, and there will be some that say that we have to do this, I'm sure at some point, I think we resist it and stick to where we are.
There was talk when that bill passed that there was a loophole that would allow that. It was big enough to drive a Mack truck for it. And that's just what CalPERS did.
Obviously they're going to come back here and try to do it here. Well, maybe not here, but in the other CalPERS agencies.
Well, all the counties will start. There'll be pressure.
Well, there's only three that did what we're doing. We're one of three.
Mm-hmm.
17 others chose to interpret it the way CalPERS interpreted it. But let me remind you, we didn't do this just on our own. We did it with the help of Harvey. And Harvey was here in this room, and we discussed this issue in great length, and it was his opinion that that the legislation and the legislature and the governor intended for it to be base pay.
Anything from staff?
No,
okay, then we are adjourned.